We also have with us on the line Nicholas Payton.
Yo, yo.
Nicholas Payton, man, how are you?
I'm cool. How you doing?
You know, we had Reggie Workman on earlier, and I slipped up and said the J word. I'm not going to say it around you.
Okay, you got it out your system. That's good. But, I mean, I say jazz all the time, but it's a pejorative, though.
Tell people why. I know you've been saying it now for years, and, you know, finally I think the Pollyanna in you is being heard by some.
It took a while, but it's basically, to me, tantamount to the N-word for black people. It's a word, I think it's a demeaning word. I ultimately feel like it's the appropriation of black music. I don't think it's indicative or representative of the true spirit of the music. So I think it's minstrelsy, and you know what that looks like is obviously changed in the last 100 years, but I still think very much that imagery holds true. So
what is this music, man?
I call it Black American music, and to me that's what it is. And when I came up with the term, a lot of people said, "Well, what about hip hop or?" Gospel or so, and my whole thing was, yeah, that's the thing. Like, all these are the same family, you know, they're all neighbors. So I don't want to be separated from the other styles of black music. To me, I'd like to have access to all of those things because they're all related. So I'm not looking to create some elite genre for so-called jazz within the spectrum of black American music. To me, all of these things are a unified whole.
How do we respond to this moment? You know, I heard you're saying, man, blackout, no, we need you speaking right now.
Yeah, I was like one of the first people. Like, I woke up, because my sleeping is all over the place.
Yeah.
Like 2, 3 a.m., and I go on my Instagram, and every page is black, and I'm like, this is the wrong time for this to happen. So, you know, I just went in and just said, we need to speak now. So I don't know who gave this directive and whatever, but even if you read the original post, it's from 2 record execs, and they're saying that this is for them. You know, I don't consider myself, it talks about, you know, the music industry. I don't consider myself part of that in the sense of I'm not a gatekeeper in the respect of having that level of control over how the business is run currently. Now, I'm very much an entrepreneur, but I'm independent. I'm not a part of the system. I'm not a part of the structure. My vibe is I'm kind of anti the system. I'm trying to create a new system. I'm about empowering the artists and taking the control back of the music. So
one of the things just my viewpoint that I realized, you know, when I wake up and I look at the feed and everything is black, it even though it was specifically about the entertainment or business or whatever, or the music business, what I saw is I didn't know such and such had a new record out. I didn't know. And one day is detrimental, in my opinion. So it's like, how supportive is that when really, I think getting the word out and spreading love, and I'm not in any way ever thinking about muting Gary Bartz. I'm in no way ever thinking about muting Nicholas Payton. I'm not ever in any way thinking about muting John Coltrane. And yes, even if it is only for a day, me personally, I'm not muting that. You know, that's how I felt about it, too.
Yeah, and to me, like, and everybody has different ways of processing. Some people don't feel inspired to play. Some people don't want to listen. They're in a lot of pain. And that's cool. There's no judgment. But that doesn't mean we all have to necessarily do the same thing and inflict that upon others. Because that's what we're feeling. You know, some people, the best thing for them to do is to play through that or to listen as a means of healing and balm for what they're going through, to be more reflective. Music is meditative. It can serve a lot of different things. So I just feel like, too, in the times we're in now, and I've been very quiet on the subject of the president because I just kind of just don't pay attention. But the recent statements have made it so that I can't ignore because it's dangerous. And to me, this is tantamount to the rising of a fourth Reich. Like, this dude is out of control with things he's saying and the code language he's using to amp up these white nationalists and race soldiers in these streets. While we, you know, like it's very crucial right now. So we can't just be as a community ready to jump on somebody saying something. Because as we saw now, the whole Instagram, my whole page, like all my friends and the people I follow are kind of on the same vibration. So my whole page was black.
Yeah.
They can silence us just putting some stuff out there. You don't know where it's coming from.
Exactly.
You don't know where it's coming from. So we need to really think and process, consider the source, and think for ourselves. Don't just have knee-jerk reactions to everything. And this part of it, too, with the succession of murders we've seen with Breonna Taylor and George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery, we're pretty angry, you know. Not only the black community, but, you know, the conscious community at large is angry. But that's not to say that we're just supposed to go out here and incite whatever. And this is not an anti-loot statement or anti-violence statement, because to me, I think there's a time for everything. And I think, you know, those who created this environment of violence expects to be, they want to control the population with telling us to be love and peace, but they're not. They're violating that part of honoring what makes this country keeps the peace. As I was watching a talk with Terrace Martin and Kamasi made some very poignant points about, you know, because these race soldiers consistently violate our rights, then they create an environment for which we don't respect the law. You can't expect us to respect the law if you don't respect the law. And you just can't keep pushing black people, pushing us in a corner, pushing us in a corner to a point where we don't have a way out. And they say in combat, you should always leave the person you're fighting with an escape route. Otherwise, they might just go completely ballistic, and it'll be very bad for you. And black people are at that point right now where you just, we done knelt, we done sang, we done prayed, we done had our own businesses, we done fed our children, we done had great spiritual leaders who tried to calm us down, and we've done all the things, and we're still getting killed in the streets. So now we're at the point where you're leaving us no choice, and here's where we are with it.
How does someone creating respond?
I don't know. We're all responding in different ways.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a right or wrong way. And in fact, I think we all need to be responding in different ways. And a lot of people are saying, well, what do we do? What, you know, if we've tried all the things, what do we do? My feeling is, let's try all the things at the same time. Because it seems like whenever I think about black history, it's like, well, we focus on this part of it, we focus on arming ourselves, or we focused on that part of it. And we've been decimated at every point. It's not like black people have not tried over these 400 years to mobilize, to have their own businesses. Again, we've tried all the things. And we just need to keep going. We have to, because dying is not an option. And that's why I don't even like these mantras.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I don't like these mantras where I can't breathe, because we're reinforcing trauma.
Yep.
And we keep reinforcing these traumas. I'm not down with posting these murders on social media. It's not correct. You can't say the N-word on Instagram, but they allow black people to be murdered over and over again and going viral. Why is that okay? It's not okay to call these people the N-word, but it's okay to watch white people killing us, which sends a clear message, and it normalizes it, and it says that it's okay, not to mention how it traumatizes our kids and our women and men, because it's the same tactics that they used back in the day with lynching. It was sending a signal, stay in your place or this could happen to you. Mm-hmm. So that this the it's the new lynching. We got to get these images out. It is not cool for people to be seeing people murdered, and the disparity in which that happens. Because the thing is like, if that were happening to white people, it would be outlawed. It would be banned. I'm banned on Facebook right now just for sharing some ideas from Dr. Judy Mikovits. I haven't been able to get in my Facebook for about 2 months now. And these are just ideas. I wasn't even saying I agree or anything. I'm just putting stuff forward. You can't find Plandemic on YouTube right now, but you can find video after video after video of black people getting killed. And just as a test, I was like, well, why can't I find any white killings? When's the last time you saw a cop kill a white person? It happens. I'm sure it happens. And I've actually done the analytics, and it's more white people getting killed by cops than black people every year. Now, the thing is the disparity by which, you know, by ratio, obviously, you know, less white people are getting killed in terms of the white population. But in terms of just the number, more white people get killed. So why don't we see that? Mm-hmm. And I think it's because they don't want that image out there. Or why don't we ever see cops getting killed? And again, I'm not condoning violence, and I don't think we should see anybody getting killed. But the fact that it's allowable for black people to get killed on video, and we perpetuate it and we share it and we watch these images over and over again, creates a culture by which this is okay. And we need to stop that. It needs to be banned, just like certain language needs to be banned. So I went on YouTube just as a search to see and put white man killed or white person killed. And still, all the videos that came up were black people being murdered.
The algorithm is against you.
Yeah. No matter if I put black man killed or white man killed, the black man killed still came up. So that tells you something right there. I can't find it. Now, maybe if I spent a long time, but I shouldn't have to work that hard. Because I certainly didn't have to work that hard to see a black man get killed. So, you know.
Woo. You're laughing to keep from crying.
Ah, man.
But it is funny, and that's just where we are, how ridiculous it is. And another thing that's just like this is so sad, it's funny. I was watching a news report of a Cheesecake Factory that was being looted. And a white woman walks out of the Cheesecake Factory with a cheesecake, and the newscaster says, there's a woman walking out with a cheesecake. Wonder where she got that from.
Wait, she wasn't characterized as a looter?
No, exactly. like the theft and looting are so normalized within the white colonial structure is that they can't fathom that someone white would be stealing anything.
Yeah.
So these words become synonymous with code words for the N-word, code words for black people, looter. You see a black person, slave, you see a black person. So we also have to change the language. And this was the part about BAM, Black American Music too, is changing the language, changing the narrative, because with certain words come certain thoughts and actions. And we can't ever erase them. So until we change the narrative, we're still going to be enslaved by language and words. And how words create thoughts, and thoughts create actions. So we have to change the narrative. This whole country needs to be torn apart. That whole constitution needs to come down. Mm-hmm. Everything needs to come down. And that's why America is inflamed and in flames. And I'm like, you know what? It needs to be. It needs to be. This whole thing needs to come down.
This is our original sin, Nicholas.
Yeah, so it needs to be redone. Because at its core set of values, this country started with looting.
Mm-hmm.
It was a loot of goods. It was a rape and pillage of African bodies and Native Americans and the whole system. That has been what it's about. I mean, the whole existence of the police was formed after slavery as control for black people. So that's the root of it. So why do we expect it to be any different? You got to tear the whole system down. Ain't no way of changing it. There's no way to legislate it. We're not going to vote it out. So now we're in a situation where we have to pick between Biden and Trump, two racists. And now we got to decide which form of racism is more palatable. That's not a choice. The two-party system is faulty. The Electoral College is faulty. And this whole lesser of two evils is faulty, because that's why a lot of black people don't vote. That's why I don't vote. And I'm not with this, oh, people dying for your right to vote. All due respect, I didn't ask you to die for my right to vote. I don't want to vote, and I'm of Malcolm X. Malcolm X wasn't trying to tell us to vote. He believed separate but equal. He thought that we should have our own system of government and our own laws within America, as many other communities have successfully done. Jews have done a fantastic job of building their own America within America. Vietnamese, they have their own America within America. It's so many nations that have been here after us. And maybe that's the solution for us, you know, for black people to build their own country within this strata. But America needs to come down anyway, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Mm.
Nicholas, I appreciate your time this evening.
No problem.
Definitely.
Love you, love you both.
Great love to you, too.
To chat with y'all.
All right. Man, thanks so much.
Beautiful.
Take it easy.
All right. Peace.